Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for the opportunity to come together, to worship your name, to hear your word, and to build each other up. Thank you for all of those who are still with us in spirit, but not able to be with us here today. Pray for your restorative power, that we can all be in one place at the same time, someday very soon. Open our hearts to hear your word today. Amen. Google used to have a motto a few years back, don't be evil. And it was kind of a shot at companies that were doing all this tracking, and Microsoft in particular. Of course, talk about the pot calling the kettle black. As a standard, they didn't meet very well. And eventually they stopped using that logo. But they have plenty of companies. It's not like they're the only ones doing it. They're all out there doing it. But in the world, sometimes we have to choose, unfortunately, between the lesser of evils. But there's a problem sometimes where people don't want to define evil. They don't want to call evil what it is. And so you don't see the phrase maybe even as much as you might have in the past. Maybe they noted the hypocrisy, I don't know. But we don't want to be seen, or maybe they don't want to be seen as believing in it, because the secular world has tried to teach us that there's no such thing, but we all know that's not true. There are certain things that everybody knows is evil, whether they're willing to say it or not. And really, those things should be called out, and they should be challenged. But what does that have to do with what we're talking about today? Okay. We are still, there was some hope that maybe it would get better, but I would say we are still as much as ever. I'm seeing stuff in the news. We're as much divided as we've ever been. One side in particular seems to resort to violence, but we presume evil intent on both sides. Now, sometimes it's there. I'm not going to, I can't say that it isn't. But we should never, especially on an individual level, we should never assume it. We should all acknowledge by now, we've all been on this earth long enough to know that selfish desires and preferences play into a lot of what we think and what we choose to believe. And yet there are also many people that are pushing things that they really believe will make the world better. And the argument is over whether that's really true or not. In the church, we certainly ought to be assuming amongst ourselves that the desire that we all have is for good. We might disagree on what that looks like. We may and should attempt to advance what we believe to be true, but always, always treating each other with respect. And as we go out into the world, recognizing that the only true solution is Jesus. Nothing else is really going to solve the problem. There's no single person. There's no policy. There's no government. Nothing solves the human problem except Jesus. But it's our call to love even those who consider themselves to be our enemies. just like Jesus taught. Our goal is to free them, not to destroy them. We are continuing our study in Romans chapter 12. We're starting with verse 14 today. Paul has discussed our relationship to God, the call that is upon all of us as children of God to conduct our lives as a living sacrifice. And that the way that we do that is by constantly choosing to do that, by renewing our minds with the things that are good and right and true and holy, by allowing ourselves to be transformed in that process. And then our relationship to each other, beginning with humility and serving each other with our God-given gifts, loving and honoring one another. And so now he is going to continue the theme that we've been on for I would say, this whole chapter. But the theme of what pure love looks like. And even as it relates to people who would be considered our enemies. I'm going to pick up in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. By being of the same mind toward one another, not being haughty in mind, but associating with the humble. Do not be wise in your own mind, never paying back evil for evil to anyone, respecting what is good in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, being at peace with all men, never taking your own revenge, beloved. Instead, leaving room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. I would summarize this passage with three overarching themes: word, attitude, and action. He first deals with the things that we say. Of course, that can also translate into action too, but the way he says this, bless and do not curse. He says, bless those who persecute you. Some translations say, bless those who mistreat you. So now we're reaching beyond, hopefully, we're reaching beyond the church. The Christians in Rome were certainly persecuted all throughout the empire. Now, one hopes that this is not a feature within the church, but unfortunately it has been. And what a sorry testimony to the Lord, but division, about the Lord to the world. But division is one of Satan's most useful tools. Because if we're fighting among ourselves, even Jesus said, speaking of the devil, a house divided itself against itself cannot stand. Well, the same holds true for us. It's just a true statement. If we're divided against ourselves, we're going to fall. And I wish I think pretty much on the same page here. But I wish that all of of God's people would put aside the things that don't, that aren't critical, and work together on the things that are. And that being first and foremost, that the world needs Jesus. And when we use the word bless, it can mean almost anything. I've been wearing a t-shirt my wife got me a few years ago. It's got hashtag blessed on the front of it. What do we mean? And we use the word to confer some kind of spiritual blessing. The definition also includes simply to make happy, to provide some kind of benefit. You know, we always say we got a blessing. The definition in context, to speak well of, the word that's actually used, the Greek word eulogio. You know, that's where we get the word eulogy from. And when we speak about people at funerals, generally we say good things about them, even if maybe internally we don't necessarily agree with them. We speak good things. I wonder what would happen to our relationships if we were better about that as a people, of doing that while they were still with us. He says, bless and do not curse. What does it mean to curse? It doesn't just mean to say bad words. It means to invoke evil upon someone. James points out that, hey, you are cursing people that are made in the image of God. You ought not do that. And of course, Jesus says much the same thing over in Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who disparage you. How do we do that? Well, to do that, we need to change our attitude. First, we need to learn to have empathy for one another, and we need to learn humility. He talks here about feeling or being in empathy with people. Be happy or rejoice. Weep or cry with them. In other words, we're in to be in one another's lives in such a way that that we're experiencing some of that emotions. Now, you know, make an emotional connection with them is basically what we're saying here. Jesus did. And you can read that in the scriptures. Now, for some of us, that is just really uncomfortable. When I was growing up, I didn't know what to do with my emotions. I was a big Star Trek fan. I kind of wanted to be like Spock. And, you know, if you know his story, he's not an emotional at all. But that's another rabbit trail. But I wanted to be like that, just not have to deal with it. But it's part of how God made us. And it starts with understanding that we're all the same. With having some humility, not being pride, not being arrogant. Be of the same mind. Be in harmony, in other words. Consider yourselves to be equal. We are, every single one of us, saved by the same grace. Now, I love to point out, it really bothers me when people say, speaking of people who have been saved, well, we're all sinners. You know how I feel about that. If you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you're no longer a sinner. Doesn't mean you never sin, but that's not your identity anymore. That's not who you are. But the reason why that is so is only because of the mercy of God, not because of anything that we did or could do. So when we keep that in mind, it's easier for us to look at others and see we're not all that different. Some of us are further along in that journey than others, but we all started from the same raw material, and it wasn't pretty. So don't think you're better than anyone else. It's kind of the idea behind being haughty in mind. Arrogance, for one thing, is unjustified. It drives people away. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." You may be absolutely worthy of that praise. No one's truly worthy but the Lord, but you may have done something that's truly laudable, or you may be something that's truly laudable, but the fastest way to lose it is to try and grasp it. I don't know, should I tell that story? I'll put it that way. I know people who, great people, wonderful people, but because they're trying so hard to be recognized that they have injured their reputation, and people avoid them or don't want to engage with them because of that. When if they would just be themselves and let other people recognize that in them, it would be seen. People would see it. But associate with those who are of lowly status, because really we're all the same, and we're all at the we all started from the same place. If you practice the humility we've just been talking about, then it's easy to do that. But it does involve time, and it does involve being purposeful about it. Don't be wise in your own estimation, one translation says. Don't think you're so smart, is the way I wrote it down. Whether we got it from books, whether we got it from life, whether we got it from both, it always came from God. And if we don't keep that in mind, it can lead to arrogance, and it can lead to discounting the knowledge that's held by others. And you know, the scripture tells us that that's not wise. So then we move into action. Don't return evil for evil, he says. Now, I thought about kids. What is the most common, you catch kids fighting, what's the most first thing you're going to hear? He started it. She started it. Because we are... And our immediate response is, well, if you're going to start it, I'm going to finish it. But evil remains evil regardless of who's doing it or regardless of what came first. Two wrongs don't make a right. We all know that little saying. And we know that it only escalates. There are times when it's right that you have to stand up and you have to fight for some things. But for the most part, all we're doing is fighting for ourselves and our own pride and our own way and our own beliefs, and all that does is escalate. And we see how that ends up in the society that we're in today. What's happening now? He says, respect what is good in the sight of all men. Now, I have to make a confession to y'all. Last time we went over this passage back sometime in 2018. I forget the exact date. I read this kind of the way that the Common English Bible puts it. It says, show respect for anyone else, for what anyone else believes is good. And I think that is a misleading way to put that. Now, the things I taught that day were not untrue, but one of the things that is incumbent upon me as a pastor is to share what the Word of God says. If I'm telling you that a particular passage says a particular thing, that needs to be what it says. Nothing I said was untrue, but it wasn't what this particular passage says. So I ask your forgiveness. But the context here of this verse is, don't return evil for evil. And the Greek there for respecting has in it the idea of considered behavior, of forethought, of thinking out beforehand, planning ahead what you're going to do, giving careful attention to it. In other words, consider your response and choose a good response. And that is something that will be obvious to those around you. And it will bolster your witness of who you are as a child of God and of who God is. Because we're supposed to be representing Him. So He says, be at peace. Be at peace with all, wherever possible. That's everybody, not just the people you like. Now, yes, there's a reason why it's written that way. Sometimes it's not possible. But as much as depends on you, don't start the trouble. And if you can, do the best you can to stop it. Often, all this requires is for us to shut up. And I have certainly learned that over the years. I try to ask myself, I'm not always successful at it, but try to ask myself, am I contributing anything positive if I speak up in this situation? Or am I just escalating the fight or trying to get likes or trying to get clicks or trying to get people to pay attention to me? If that's why I'm doing it, then I need to just not do it. But Proverbs says a gentle answer turns away anger. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Pride is provocable. We've been talking a lot about humility. I'm not saying humiliation here. I'm not saying thinking of yourself as worthless. God doesn't think you're worthless. He died for you. You are infinitely valuable. But you need to understand, and I need to understand, who gave that value. That value came from Him. If we're not walking in pride, we're less provocable. So then he says, regarding our enemies, regarding people that really are against us, he quotes from Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 35. And the passage is where Israel, God is speaking through Moses about the eventual falling away and destruction of Israel because of their sin, because they keep chasing after other gods. But then it is a judgment on Israel's enemies, even though it was ordained by God to happen because of their sin, the enemies, the things that they did, they're still responsible for those things. And God is going to judge them as well. So he says, vengeance is mine. God himself will repay. The point here is that God will defend his people. It's not up to us. We don't have, it's not our place to do that. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Therefore, we have no claim on it. We can't claim a right to it. God's judgment. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that to us because we can't see into the future. We can't see what God is doing. But God's judgment is always true and right and fair. And ours, by the simple reason of we're finite humans, we can't know everything. And even if our motives are pure, our knowledge is not infinite. And so our judgment can never be fair and perfect. He says, do them good. And he's quoting there directly from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. And he's, again, carrying this theme forward from verse 17. And he talks about, you know, in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, I know for it's easy for us to misread that and think, we're making them feel bad. Well, actually, that's not entirely beyond what's being said here. There was in Proverbs they're making a reference. At least some scholars believe it makes sense to me because it fits with the passage and the intent. There was an Egyptian ritual that people who were guilty of something would carry out, and they would carry coals in some kind of container on top of their head as a public shame, as a public repentance for whatever it is that they had done. And in doing good to the people who have done us harm or are against us in some way, we expose the evil for what it is. And hopefully, remember that Jesus' purposes are always redemptive. Hopefully what we're doing is we're leading them to a place of true repentance where they truly do feel sorry for what they're doing. And we're able to bring them to Jesus. Regarding evil, he says, don't be overcome. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't submit to it. And certainly, don't become a participant in it by returning it. Overcome it with good, not more evil. This week, I don't know, I wouldn't call it evil necessarily. That's a bit of a strong word. But that had a little bit of an incident this week at work where somebody did something, put something in that was not quite right. And, I mean, they did it based on my requests, but in my mind, I had no reason not to make the request the way I did, that they should have known how to do that right. And they didn't do it. So in my mind, it was on them. But they required me to basically go through all the red tape and go through the process to do this again, to make this change again in order to fix what in my mind was their error. Now, I was tempted to get bent out of shape about that, and you know, I think I might have made one comment that was not helpful, but not too far out there. But I had to make a choice. And my choice was to let it go and to just do what I needed to do. Now, I don't know that I had much choice in that matter, but I could have done it willingly, or I could have done it griping and complaining the whole way and basically making everybody upset with me. And what good would that have done me? So I chose to just do it. And now, you know what? Now it's done. Everything is in place. Everything's fine. I hope that I can contribute constructively in the future to making it better so that we don't have that happen again. I tried to do that this week. But we all have, most of us are going to face, well, I'll call for lack of a better word, little evils. Most of us are not going to be in a situation where somebody's trying to kill us. We might be. But most of us, it's going to be things like, you know, somebody says something to you that's bad, or they say something about you that's bad, or somebody does something that you feel like is unfair to you, or you know, in some way detrimental to you. Someone cuts you off in traffic. At least one of us can relate to that. Somebody treats you with disrespect. I know a lot of us can relate to that. Run into that a lot of times with disability. But what are we to do about it? And we take an opportunity to educate if we can, you know, especially the disability realm. But we have a choice then. Are we going to respond with graciousness? Are we going to respond trying to send back evil for evil? And for most of us, that's kind of stuff we're going to face realistically. But in every day, in every situation, you have a choice to make. Am I going to return evil or am I going to return good? How we respond reflects on us, but it also reflects on the one that we claim to serve. I'll tell you another little story, and I know I'm probably taking too long, but I'm not going to mention any names, but Linda and I were, and I guess technically we don't actually know who it was, we just think we do. But Linda and I were coming to church one day, and it was back when she didn't have her car yet, and we were taking Dart together, and we were coming up on the church, and the driver was telling us, so I took somebody else here, and we were late, and boy, she just cussed me out. And I thought, oh, what a terrible testimony. You're taking somebody, you're going to church, and you do that. The most impactful stories. The most impactful stories that you hear, and every once in a while something will come on the news, are a people who, and I wish I'd had time to look one up just to have a little better example, but people who have publicly forgiven the one who hurt them. It makes the greatest statement. It's one of the greatest witnesses for who we are and who Jesus is, because that's what he did. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In our public discourse, and there are some things that we really shouldn't compromise on, and we got to speak the truth. But we should always speak the truth in love. And realize that there are a lot of things that obviously we think there's one right way to do it. But people who are honestly trying to solve the problem may disagree on how it should be done. And we ought to start with an assumption of goodwill until we're proven otherwise. And I wish that I had considered that before I wrote a blog post about 20 years ago and lost a friend over it. We must always remember our purpose is always redemptive. Everything we do should be aimed in that direction. We stand against evil because we love. But we're not loving if we're tearing down our opponents. And it's not helpful. And this is something that I've had to realize over the years. And I don't spend, I don't tend to listen to people anymore who do this. It's not helpful if we're filling our minds. Remember, we talked about revealing our mind, renewing our minds. It's not helpful if we're taking in people who are doing that, who are disparaging other people and making fun of other people and putting them down. It's one thing if they're calling out the ideas and explaining why the ideas are wrong. It's something else if they're just being mean in the things that they're saying. That doesn't contribute to renewing our minds, and it doesn't convince anyone. They aren't going to convince anyone, and neither are we if we take that route. I don't know how many books I picked up over the years and read it, and it was good stuff. But because of the way it was presented, I would always often think to myself, somebody who needs to have this information is never going to pick it up because from the very title, they're being attacked. We can't win over anybody to anything with that approach. And we're certainly not going to win people to Jesus with that approach. So, as we interact with others, assume the best. Respond to less with kindness. And leave the way open for the Holy Spirit to do His work. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that you have shown us. Let us in return show that grace and mercy to others, that they may come and be part of our family too. I know not everybody's going to come. Most people not going to come. You told us that. But that's our goal. So you tell us that it's not your desire that anyone perish, that all would come to repentance. So help us, Lord, as we strive to be witnesses of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.